We understand you can't listen to all 4 hours of the show. That's why we have Scheman and Shepherd on demand. Download us whenever at 993ESPN.com or on iTunes. This is Scheman and Shepherd on 993ESPN.
Scheman and Shepherd dropping a beat. 993ESPN and the 993ESPN app. Chris on the other side of the glass. We are practicing social distancing. Chris and I are here in Estero at our palatial studios, separated by glass. Pete Shepherd in his home in Bonita, doing the show from there. Drinking a beverage. It's 5 o'clock.
Water.
I'm calling BS on that.
That's clear.
Unbelievable imported roasted pepper on a piece of small piece of Italian bread. Delicious.
An imported?
Just a little bite size. Little bites. Yeah.
From where?
Yes.
Italy.
From Italy.
I wouldn't eat anything from Italy right now.
Stop. This is probably...
It's low-hanging fruit. Jars. Sorry. I mean...
It's got Corona-19
didn't
all
come
over
yesterday.
It.
COVID-19.
COVID-19.
Which, yeah. Is there a difference between COVID-19 and coronavirus? Like, is coronavirus like the flu and COVID-19 like a strain of it? I'm asking. I don't know.
Coronavirus is a pretty broad... term.
Broad brush.
Like the common cold is a kind of coronavirus. If you look at the back of this Clorox thing, it says helps kill coronavirus, but not the kind that's killing us.
Because I see the COVID-19, like it's used, but it's not interchangeable.
Right. There used to be, there's a COVID-18, COVID-17, and a COVID-16. I don't know if that.
Well, is there 1 through 15 as
no,
well?
I've not heard that.
Well, I would think there would be.
No, I think it has to do with how many atoms and electrons or something. I don't know. Something like that. I don't think there's a COVID-1.
Okay.
I haven't seen a COVID. I think there are 4 COVID, 16, 17,
or maybe
18,
1 through 18 weren't entirely successful.
They were not successful viruses.
Right.
They died immediately.
Right.
That's a joke.
And 19th time is the charm.
Yes.
All right. We are going to speak with Tim Brando from Fox Sports. We're going to push it a few to the bottom of the hour. His wife has him doing honeydews. And
where is he?
He's shopping.
At a hardware store.
Yes, he is.
Pete?
I wish he called in and did play-by-play of him shopping. That could be fun.
Oh, Pete, he's at a hardware
a
store.
A lot you guys can talk about coming up, huh?
This conversation's over.
I wouldn't understand the terminology. You guys would have to translate.
Tim Brando's trying to keep this economy running. By the way, Dow Jones up over 2,000 today.
Huh. Leon Perrin says the 19 refers to the year 2019.
Oh, so we didn't discover it until 2016 because of 16, 17, 18.
Yeah.
Thank you, Leon Perrin. Thank you for the clarification. Only news really going on today. We know that the Olympics are officially postponed, probably to 2021. Cam Newton has officially been released by the Carolina Panthers. Tom Brady had his Buccaneers press conference today via telephone.
Yeah.
Social distancing. Now you're all caught up. Literally, you know everything that's going on.
Well, Noah Syndergaard is going to have Tommy John surgery as well, Mets starter, so he's not going to be ready.
That.
Probably not till next summer.
Okay.
Which could be the next baseball season.
Which could be the next time we see anybody play baseball. This is a good time to get surgery.
Former Bucs running back Peyton Barber is also signed with the Redskins today.
For $3 million for 2 years.
$3 million, including $600,000 guaranteed.
Basically, he's playing for free, right?
No.
No, he's playing for
$600,000 guaranteed, $3 million contract.
Yeah, that's basically nothing.
So he's one of the guys that benefited from the new CBA. Absolutely. Is that what you're telling me?
He's voting yes.
That's a league minimum deal right there.
You're right. All right, Pete Shepherd, we started an exercise last hour where you had some slang terms that were famous from each state. We made it, I believe, through the M's.
Well, we're at Nevada right now. We've got 22
more to
go.
Before you get started, I did have somebody text in. Vasectomy Happy Hour texted in. Said, guys, I'm from Maryland. I never heard of a bop. Better term would be chicken necker.
Chicken necker.
That's necker.
That's what I said.
I'm just
relax.
Just being clear. All right, so pick it
That's
up.
That's probably right, yeah. All right, yeah, so we're up to Nevada. Pigeon.
That's a phrase?
Yeah, in the gambling world, a pigeon, you know, is a gambler who doesn't know when to quit. Time to pluck a pigeon, as they say.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes.
I would have thought their catchphrase would have been, hit me!
No.
No.
No, that would be you on 18 against a 10.
Okay. Yeah, seriously, and then you get hit by every other player at the table. Ridiculous. That's the worst thing about playing like a table game on a cruise.
Yeah.
You get in there.
Yeah.
You play the minimum because it's $10 and that's fine for you.
Right.
And the person, 15 guys showing a six, I'm going to hit. Why? It makes no sense. And you just let them take the big card.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right.
New Hampshire, XYZ, and it's exactly what you think it is.
Your zipper.
It turns, been in place since the 60s, but you could say that for every state.
Examine,
I mean, XYZ is not,
your,
you know, indigenous.
Zipper.
Is XYZ really indigenous to New Hampshire?
XYZ PDQ. So. We used to say that in first grade.
Wow.
In Michigan.
Yeah. What's PDQ part? I forget.
Pretty darn quick. Fact.
Oh, I don't remember that. We didn't have that. XYZ. Or maybe we did. I don't remember it. New Jersey. Benny.
Like a Benny wafer?
Why? If you're from New York area and descend upon the Jersey Shore every summer, you're known as a Benny, not a term of endearment, kind of like snowbird. No one knows for sure how that term origin, but a prevailing theory is that in the early 1900s, train transportation and cars allowed the wealthy to get away for a beneficial trip to cure what ailed them. This beach vacation down the shore, another Jersey phrase, began to be known as a Benny. Hmm. So if you're called a Benny today, it means you're an arrogant tourist who doesn't belong.
Huh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
New Mexico. Christmas? Christmas.
Jiminy Christmas! Is that like when you, I don't know.
No.
Did I use it correctly?
Okay. Chili is a staple to the residents of New Mexico. You can have green pepper chili, red pepper chili, or even make it Christmas chili. Chili with both red and green peppers. It's really as simple as using the traditional colors of Christmas.
I get that.
Is that really a popular term in New Mexico?
Never
Breaking
been.
Breaking Bad, watching that whole series, I don't remember the term Christmas ever coming up.
How many cities in New Mexico can you name?
Albuquerque?
That's mine.
I've driven through Albuquerque before.
Roswell?
Area 51.
Yeah.
So I'm at two.
Yeah.
Isn't there there's a couple of sands.
Santa Fe? No. Santa Fe.
Well, Santa Fe, yeah.
All right, there's three.
I guess.
Santa Fe is a capital, isn't it?
Yes. State I have no desire to go to.
Why?
New Mexico?
New Mexico.
Why?
Like I don't know. I just don't have the desire, Pete. What? Sell me on it. You're the tourist board for New Mexico. Sell me on why I need to go.
Christmas chili?
Breaking Bad.
Christmas chili.
Breaking Bad. Come see where it all started.
I would go to Area 51 if I could once.
But you can't.
I know.
But wouldn't you like to visit every state in your lifetime? I would.
I've been to like 38 of the 50, I think, last time I counted.
I'd have to count.
But... I've been to most of the good ones.
You haven't been to more than four.
I said most of the good ones.
You've been to Florida, New York, and there was some mystery thing about South Dakota once upon a time you were in somewhere.
Been to Alabama.
Roll Tide.
Both of the Carolinas.
Yeah.
You're right.
Georgia.
We're in South Carolina. Just driving to North Carolina?
Yeah.
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 Then you missed the good part.
I'm up to New York.
All right.
As you stop your magical mystery tour.
Yes.
New York, dead ass. Slang comes from the United Kingdom, where dead ass means seriously. Can't think of how you would use this in a sentence. Well, trust me, I'm a dead ass telling you the truth.
Dead ass
slang
serious,
is a city term adopted by the New Yorkers in the late 1990s. Yeah. It can be a confirmation, a question, and a reaction we used in New York. Dead ass.
Hold on. Tiz, El Paso's in Texas, not New Mexico. Just FY your information.
Why did you have to call him out on that? You could have texted him privately. Nobody needed to know.
I mean, granted, it's close. It's by the border, but
I saw it. I didn't say anything.
I spent a night once in El Paso, and I had to. Okay.
Chris, people want the list music. They're craving it.
How many more states we have,
and
Pete?
Now,
okay.
A list.
17 more. All right, North Carolina.
17 more? We got Tim Brando on in like 10
minutes. I'm going to go quick. North Carolina, dime.
Like an assist?
Like she's a dime?
If someone is very attractive, they are considered a dime
in North
Carolina.
I thought assist, you thought women, hot chick.
Yeah. The term mostly used for women, but appropriated to describe men as well, has a couple of meanings. A dime is someone you would be willing to give a diamond to marry. Who's a 10 out of 10 because a dime is worth 10 cents?
I think it's a dime because she's a 10 or he's a 10.
Right.
And a dime is 10 cents.
That was part of it. North Dakota. Oofta. UFF, then duh.
Somebody guessed that, actually.
In North Dakota, they really just don't know what to do, so they just came up with that.
When you're exasperated, surprised, or upset, you may let out an oofta in North Dakota. The phrase was brought over from Norwegians who settled in the upper Midwest in the 1800s.
Oofta! I'm going to start using all that. Right. I like that. That's my favorite one from this list.
Ohio. Holland. Holland. H-O-L-L-I-N. The insult in Ohio originated in Cleveland. It means someone is talking trash and they can't back it up. To holler means to yell. Holland took an extra step.
A lot of that going on in Ohio.
It's Oklahoma. Empty hollering.
Oklahoma. Jeet.
Jeet?
J-apostrophe-E-T.
What does that stand for?
Some slang is simply a shortening of a phrase. In Oklahoma, as well as Texas, did jeet said quickly as jeet? Jeet?
Did you eat?
Did jeet?
Are you kidding me?
Did you eat?
Jeet?
Yeah, Jeet? I get it.
Did you eat?
It's like, what's his name? Iglesias, the comedian. He's like, you know, you got the people are drunk. He goes, and you got the mirror guy when he's drunk. Like, hey, mirror. You like, come here?
Mirror. Yes.
Gotcha.
Anyway, moving on. Oregon. Spendy.
Spendy?
S-P-N-D-Y, the word of the 2000s, filed across the U.S., but especially in Oregon. Spendy has more than 800,000 hits on Google. The more commonly used phrase is expensive, and that is just what a spendy means, something expensive.
Okay. All right.
Pennsylvania, use, Y-O-U-S-C.
Oh, just the plural of
use.
Why
say you guys, but you can just make it your
use
plural.
Use guys are getting on my nerves. Yeah, use guys.
It's actually born from Irish immigrants in the U.S. in cities such as Boston, New York, Chicago, Philly, U-1s.
By the
harbor. Yeah. Yeah. Use. Rhode Island.
Use Utes. How about you combine use and Utes in the same sentence?
Yeah.
Yes. Use Rhode Utes. Island. Packy. I know what this means. P-A-C-K-Y. Packy is a liquor store, like the package store. The Packy. That's a big word in Rhode Island. So go to the Packy. It means a liquor store. And I met lots of Southern Mass uses as well. South Carolina. Might could.
What?
Might could?
Could.
I told you.
As might means you could possibly do something, you might think that saying I might, could be able to do that is redundant.
You know
a Southerner will argue that could suggest it's something they know they can do, which is simply from something that they simply might do. Confused? Upon further research, you'll find that many Germanic languages once stacked words, including the Scottish, who used the term mick cut. Many Scots immigrated to the American South and with a phrase, but anyway, Mike could.
I have heard that, and again, as I said earlier, fixin' to do something, and Mike could. Yes, I've heard those when I lived in South Carolina.
Here's one I've never heard of. South Dakota. Cattywampus. It's one word. Capital K.
That's my favorite word.
Y-W-A-M-P-U-S. Cattywampus.
What does it mean? Cattywampus.
A fun word that means askew or crooked. It's a word also brought to the States by the Scottish, who used wampish to mean twist and swerve.
All right.
One of the best definitions of the word, catawampus, are the positions of the items on the top of a coffee table after a two-year-old has been playing with them.
Mm. All right. Catawampus. All right.
So it's a mess.
Tennessee. Meet and three. Meet and three. Another term for those in the South is a meet and three. When you stop at a meet and three restaurant or attend a party with a buffet in Tennessee,
you'll find one selection
of meat such as fried chicken, yep, country fried steak, or meatloaf served with three other sides, such as mac and cheese, green beans, and mashed potatoes.
I've heard that before.
Meat and three.
Meat and three.
Texas. Kicker.
That's got to be like Tabasco sauce.
The real kicker is how kicker became a slang term for most. Of course, it's found in sports lingo, considering it does involve a physical motion. The newspaper printed kicker is the line. We know kicker above a headline is meant to provoke interest in what's to follow.
Oh.
In Texas, the word has some alternate meanings as well. It's used to describe a Texan associated with country western apparel or attitude.
Yeah!
Or less benevolently, a redneck. It is popular. It's
Yeehaw!
A popular radio station. Yeah, what a kicker. Utah. Sluff.
Utah!
S-L-U-F-F. Sluff.
Utah! Sluff
literally means to shed, scrape, or peel off a layer, such as a snake shedding its skin. If you slough in Utah, you're ditching or skipping out on something like a party or a class.
Oh, that's fun, like shedding.
Vermont. I like this one. Dink. D-I-N-K. Dink.
Yeah. You
don't call someone a dink in Vermont unless you mean it. This is a put-down, and when you use it, you're calling someone an idiot. Well, we know what that
means.
What
a dink. I've heard that one numerous times. I mean, not at me.
Virginia. Yonder.
Yeah. Oh, over there.
Over yonder.
Yeah, over there.
Yep, over there yonder. Today reflects again. That's we all know what that
is. I've actually been to Virginia as well. Just inside the state line.
Yeah.
Just inside. Ararat, Virginia.
Okay. Well, you're getting around the whole Mid-Eastern seaboard there.
I live in the ACC, SEC country. The Washington old State. ACC, not the Syracuse and BC ACC. Yeah.
Washington, pre-funk, Washington State, pre-funk.
Pre-funk.
Yeah, what like someone, the music era.
What some call pre-gaming, Washingtonians call it pre-funking. Just as a pre-game means a party before a game, such as a tailgate, a pre-funk is the party before a function or event. But, of course, pre-funking and pre-gaming always includes drinks. West Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
Peck. P-E-C-K.
Yes.
If you ever heard of the phrase, a bushel and a peck, you may be familiar with the meaning of peck. The term is an actual meaning. It means of dry measuring food like apples, oysters, or peppers. Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers. Yes.
Gotcha.
No, it doesn't seem, well, West Virginia, who knows? Wisconsin. Cripes. Yep.
Cripes.
Cripes, the explanation of surprise or disgust, became a thing in the early 1900s. Rather than swearing by crying out the Lord's name, people cried, cripes.
Gotcha. Yes.
So when you drop a cheese curd on the ground, you say, cripes.
Cripes.
Cheese curd.
Wyoming.
Underrated.
Almost does. The last one.
Go,
Wyoming.
Pokes.
Wyoming. Couple, two, three. Couple, two, three.
Couple,
say
two, three.
Quickly, like a couple of three in Wyoming, and you mean a few. Somewhere between two and three is a couple of three, and that's all there is to it.
How many vodkas have you had on air today, Pete?
Couple, two, three, four, five, six,
not yet.
Seven, eight, nine,
not
ten.
Yet.
He's got a martini glass right to his right on his table. I saw that.
No, that had the hard candies in it.
Yeah, uh-huh.
All right. Very good. That was a good list. I mean, it was long. Yeah, but
it was a long list.
I think it was worth it. We had fun.
Yeah,
we
50 states,
included everybody.
You learned something.
Not all territories.
Yep. Not all territories?
Yeah, D.C.
Would you Puerto Rico, D.C.?
Puerto Rico, yeah.
It was just the 50 states. It did not do territories. That's all it was. There 50 states.
All right. Very good. All right, here's what I want to do. I'm going to break early because we got Tim Brando. I don't know, you know, he said around the bottom of the hour, we might pull in early, but I want to save as much time as possible because
yes.
He gives really good answers to stuff, and I want to ask him a lot of questions. He's out driving around. He's driving home. If you're driving around, probably thinking about your auto insurance at some point, and there that leads to thoughts about your homeowner's insurance, and then that leads to thoughts of, hey, why don't I just combine the two, bundle them together with the same company, save money. Boom. Call Farmers Insurance right now. There's only one office in Southwest Florida. Belongs to Damon Briss. I've known the Briss family for 30 years. You can trust him. Give him a call, 239-202-2933. Say, hey, Damon at Farmers Insurance in Southwest Florida. Craig at ESPN told me to call, and he said you'd save me some money. So he will. It's that simple. Bundle homeowners and auto at Farmers Insurance, Damon Brist, here in Southwest Florida. 239-202-2933. That's 239-202-2933. Tim Brando next. Have you switched yet?
Football.
Radio Tinder.
I bet you'd swipe right on this show. This is Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Sheeman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN, and the 99.3 ESPN app. Now, this is a song that always puts me in a good mood. Good tune.
Ain't no mountain high enough for you, Craig Sheeman.
That's right. Good tune. Solid effort by Chris on the other side of the glass. All right, Chris, it looked like you were talking to Tim Brando during the break. What's our status?
He is unloading his car right now. So I told him, he said, give me a minute. I'm going to give him a couple minutes.
Okay.
Just to do the play-by-play, that would be gold, Jerry. Gold.
Yeah, it might be. But then he'd have a hard time holding the phone and all, you know?
That's true. He's unloading from
put it on speakers, something in the shirt pocket.
You know, Pete, when you leave hardware stores, you might have a big bag. It's not like grocery bags.
Yeah.
You have to carry your own stuff out?
Yes, Pete.
Well, it depends what you get.
It's how hardware stores work, Pete. You buy big, bulky things. And
I don't. When I was in there, I told you I had a key made once.
That doesn't count.
Where else can you get a key made, though?
All right.
I bought a extension cord.
You are a sorry excuse for a man.
My gosh.
I mean,
an extension cord?
All of mankind.
Yeah, happy to be
now,
there.
I've got like
in the
40 extension cords at my house. I'll never have to buy one again.
Was it just the extension cord, or did it have like the additional strips of outlets?
Oh, yeah, same thing.
Okay. Well,
yeah,
they sell just the extension cords where it's literally just an extra 40 feet with one outlet.
No,
but you've got the power strip.
The power. I meant to say power strip, not extension cord. Power strip, yeah. A couple of them at once.
You need them at Christmas time, don't you?
You do need them at Christmas time.
A lot of them at Christmas time.
Yes.
Stringing lights all over the place. It's absolutely crazy. So, yeah, we will talk with Tim Brando for Fox Sports. We'll get his insight on what it was like calling tournament games and then have him called off right in the middle and then kind of fast forward to his thoughts on whether our college football season is in jeopardy now because of the coronavirus and a few things in between, time permitting, as we finish up the last half hour of the show.
What do you fellas have planned for this evening?
Same as last night. Nothing.
Zombieing out in front of your laptop with...
Well, I may mosey on over to campus. My daughter's moving out now officially, slowly but surely. So we'll do some stuff there. And, you know, a lot of kids are doing that now. So I don't know. I got nothing else planned. So what about you?
Well, no, I mean, there's always, again, the syllabus of movies,
I'll
the potential...
All right, we got Tim.
You got Timmy B. One of this week. Chris is going to do Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, and you have to do Age of Ultron.
All right, very good. Tim Brando is with us from Fox Sports. So we've hunted him down. Tim, I got to tell you, you shared with me you're out at the hardware store. You know, Pete Shepard is a poor excuse for a man. He's been to a hardware store twice in his life, doesn't even know what a wall anchor is. I mean, it's so embarrassing.
Wow.
Honestly, Pete, I'm right there with you. It's Home Depot, to be honest, where I was. And, you know, I know exactly where the manure is. I pick it up all the time. And that and the right color of pink and white flowers and that kind of thing, which my wife always has to have this time of year. So,
yeah,
you know, that thankfully, our government sees that place as an essential, so it was open, and I was able to take care of it for you today.
Good for you. You got to spruce up the chateau.
Yeah, I wanted you to do a play-by-play of your journey into Home Depot, because that, you know, a lot of people are doing that, and being the excellent play-by-play person that you are, I thought it might have been amusing, but I was shot down.
Brando is fading out of his old dilapidated van, making sure he's got his sunshades on and his visor down. Trying to maintain anonymity. Now he sees some pressure coming off the periphery to the right-hand side. There is a closet. There's a closet fan of Ohio State that's making a move on him. He bootlegs to the left. It's a naked bootleg, and he's able to find his tight end over the middle, get free of the football so that he can make his way near his wife and get the hell away from the fans. By the way, sports is... has been put on pause, and these fans need to know it.
Very good.
Oh, that is outstanding.
Very classic. A Tim Brando classic. Now, Timmy B, what was it like for you a week and a half ago? You're broadcasting conference tournament games. Some of the countries conferences are deciding we're going to still play, but with fans. Others are canceling outright. We don't know what's going on. Mark Emmert was the last one on board to decide what to do with the March Madness tournament. Mm-hmm. Give us your perspective at the moment when you learn this is not happening anymore. We're not doing this.
Well, as it turned out, you know, I'm the answer to a Sports Jeopardy question. You know, I'll take the college basketball for 200, Alex.
Yeah.
All right, the question is, name the man, not named Jim Nance, who called the last college basket in the 2020 season. Who is Jim Brando?
Timmy B.
Thank you.
Yes. Creighton and St. John's will always be attached to your name.
Yeah. It was a bizarre set of circumstances. And frankly, as I was walking, we stay in a hotel that's within walking distance of the garden, and as we were walking up there, I just thought to myself, this is a ghost town. I can't imagine that we're going to play. We knew the situation with Gobert at this point because the NBA had already pulled the plug the night before. But the conferences at the moment that I woke up and I began to walk over, which was at about 10 o'clock in the morning for a noon start, they, for the time being, were all playing. In fact, at 10:30, the ACC commissioner, John Swofford, where I had been for many, many years. This was the first year I'd ever done the Big East tournament, so I was a little excited. Mm-hmm. Anytime you're my age and you get to do something for the first time, you get a little bit giddy.
Mm-hmm.
For years, I'd done the ACC for Raycom and, in fact, took them off the air at the ACC championship last year. So Swofford says at 10:30 they're playing. The Big Ten says they're playing. Players are out on the floor warming up at all these sites, Indianapolis, Greensboro, the Garden, and all the other conferences that were still playing. And I think there were 19 that began on that Wednesday night college basketball conference tournaments. And I'm thinking, no, I just can't imagine we play. And then I hear from my guys in the truck that are producing, hey, they're calling them off the floor in Indy. They're calling them off the floor in Greensboro. And we're 5 minutes away from coming on the air, and everybody's on the floor. And the national anthem's been sung. There's 200 fans from Creighton, 200 fans from St. John's, the cheerleaders and the pep bands, and it looks like we're going to go.
Yeah.
So we came on the air, and I believe said something along the lines of, for now, we're still playing at the world's most famous arena, albeit relatively empty.
Mm-hmm.
So I was throwing caution to the wind that we might not actually play or finish. And as it turned out, I was right on the second part of that. But once the game got started, you know, it's a ball game. You immerse yourself in it, and the product was actually quite good. We had a great game going. St. John's was up 3. There's a kid from Creighton, a walk-on, that was having the half of his life. He scored 8 points and 3 assists. A walk-on by the name of Jet Canfield. I'll never forget that kid. He scored more points in that half than he had all season.
Yeah.
And yet the plug is pulled at halftime. So I felt bad for those kids like that, and a little disappointed that a good game was halted to some extent, you know, in the moment. But as I said when we came on the air, I was frankly surprised that we played anytime. And if, you know, you look at the big picture and you knew that something more, much more important was taking place. But remember now, at the time that we stopped playing, the NCAA tournament was still on. Yeah. It would be hours later before Mark Emmert would pull the plug. And he only pulled the plug after both Duke and Kansas as institutions put out statements that they were not going to participate
mm-hmm.
in the NCAA tournament. So, yeah, they were the latest to make a decision. And, you know, frankly, I think a lot of Val Ackerman, I think a lot of all the commissioners of the college conferences, and I know how difficult it must have been for them. There's no manual on how to handle an international pandemic. But in the case of Val, I think, you know, they don't have football in the Big East. This is their Super Bowl. To call that off was going to mean that was going to affect a lot of lives, but lives had already been affected. To some extent, I cannot imagine that, you know, if you weren't at the Garden and you weren't a part of it as we were, and if you were watching at home, even if you were entertained by the game, people at home had to be saying, why are they playing? You know, I mean, that probably would have been my view if I had not been, you know, in the middle of it. So the optics from a public relations standpoint had to be pretty bad, I think, for the Big East. And that's one of the reasons why they abruptly called it to a halt, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Tim, I've been a Big East fan from the get-go, coming from the Northeast, and my beloved Friars are supposed to play in the second game. But I was one of those people. I was in studio with Craig and Chris, and I am screaming at the TV, and I'm cussing Val Ackerman up and down, saying, what in God's name are you waiting for? Because they were, by far, they were last. And then I was going to ask you, you know, if you saw it was – was she even at the Garden, or what about Stu Jackson? Was he around, the executive director for men's basketball?
Rich Gentile, my old boss at CBS, who is the communications head for, you know, handles he's a liaison to Fox and handles a lot of other of the material that they do digitally, and is a wonderful guy, great broadcaster, was the executive producer of the Olympics as he was leaving CBS in Japan, as I recall. And I my first NCAA basketball tournament I called when Rick was executive producer in 1996 at CBS. He was there, and he left his position shortly before tip. So I thought he was on the phone, probably with Val, and trying to get an okay as to whether we were really going to go ahead and go through with this. Val was not there. I think she was in constant conversation with, based on what she said in her press conference, with de Blasio and all of the mm-hmm. New York City people, whether it be the NYPD, the fire department, you know, everyone involved with the city of New York. And I think they were all, to be perfectly honest with you, Pete, I think they were mm-hmm. all on an island trying to do what they thought was best. You know, we hear that old cliche, politics is always local. And I think this decision that was thrust upon all the commissioners was made local because the head of the NCAA had just undercut them the day before mm-hmm. by making this grandiose statement about the NCAAs will go on,
right,
but with lack of access for fans. And they did that on the very day when these tournaments were beginning and fans were, you know, I mean, packed houses at the Garden for St. John's Georgetown, big mm-hmm. crowds in Greensboro. North Carolina was playing in the opening round for the first time in forever. And mm-hmm. they were made to look bad by Emmert, who has not taken the time to call and get on a conference call with any of these commissioners.
Yeah.
I mean, there was no, you know, no consensus taken by the president of the NCAA with any of the commissioners of these conferences. It just points out again, I think, look, ultimately the right decisions were made and basketball was called off.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But how we got there is what the problem is. And mm-hmm. how we got there was everyone was acting on their own.
Right.
No one was communicating with anyone of power. I mean, these conferences, I believe, deserve to hear from the head of the NCAA as to what he's doing before they make any decisions about what they're doing.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But for him not to take the time to involve them in his decision-making process just shows you the arrogance of Mark's approach as a leader. And, you know, I've been crying for a long time about the problems we have both in college football and in college basketball, about the lack of stability and lack of uniform approaches to the way decisions are made off the floor, off the field, and on. We need, you know, a czar for college basketball. We need a czar for college football. We need somebody that's looking at it from 30,000 feet and saying, guys, this is just not going to work.
Agree with you 1,000%.
Because if you're involved in it the way you're involved in it, mm-hmm. and it becomes a myopic decision, then you're mm-hmm. not understanding what's going on in the world around you. And I think that's the issue. And it's true in every aspect of intercollegiate athletics, whether we're dealing with a pandemic or we're dealing with, you know, the way we go about choosing the four teams to play in the college football playoff. We just have major, major problems in governance and leadership.
Yes,
in intercollegiate athletics.
Tim Brando is with us here. Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN. Agree with all of that. Your gut feeling today, March 24th, about the feasibility of a football season starting on time. We've heard some athletic directors say the model of playing in empty 100,000-seat stadiums does not work for us.
Well, I'll tell you what, the model of not being paid what Fox pays and what ESPN pays is not going to work either.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
That's, you know, true. They just lost, what was it, $1 billion? On the NCAA tournament. From what I understand, some conferences are choosing not to take the money and some are choosing to take the money. I was told, I'm not sure, but I was told that they were going to roll the contract over one more year. I think the exit year for the NCAAs is 2032 for Turner and CBS. And Turner pays 80% of this thing. Mm-hmm. CBS only pays 20% of the freight.
Wow.
But if they were just going to extend it by another year, but pay the money off. It was, I think, the option was given to the leagues as to whether they wanted to take the money now or wait, whatever was up to that. That's what I've been told. Now, it may not be true. Mm-hmm. That's not even close to the lost revenue that we're talking about if they don't play football. Mm-hmm. And, you know, based on what we're hearing from our president right now, who knows?
Right.
But based on what we're hearing from him, he wants to get the country back up and running again in a matter of weeks, not months.
Mm-hmm.
I suspect that if we're looking at sometime in late April or May, we're to a point where baseball is getting close to resumption, then I think football will be fine. Yeah. And football needs to be fine because you talk about, losing the NCAA tournament was tough. It was tough on a lot of people. But you're not going to get that as much pushback on that decision based on the serious nature of where the pandemic was at that time and the decision was made. But if we lose a college football season and you're talking about calling off an entire college football season, listen, the heartland of America and the Deep South, short of Louisiana, are areas that have really not been that impacted by the coronavirus.
Yeah.
Okay. In the middle of check the numbers on places like Nebraska and Alabama and Georgia. It's not a big deal. It's just not.
Yeah.
Even now, it doesn't. People are being careful, but the numbers are just not where they are in the hot spots like Washington, California, New York, and as I said, in Louisiana. And much of Louisiana's problem is based only in Orleans and Jefferson Parish because of the Mardi Gras. The timing of the Mardi Gras, given where the virus was just awful.
Yeah.
And I think that, along with New Orleans being one of the major ports in our country, all that figures into the issues they're having. We have very few in Northwest Louisiana where I live. Everyone's adhering to, I think, the guidelines that have been set forth by everyone in Washington to this point, and I'm proud to say that. I noticed today, even at the Home Depot, everyone was keeping their distance. There were no handshakes, no elbow bumps, none of that.
Yeah.
People were courteous but respectful of what we've been required to do. You take away college football, we're talking about major pushback.
Yeah, no doubt.
You take it away, I mean, I really don't think it'll get to that point, but if it were to get there, fellas, I think you would. Mm. There would be major upheaval in a lot of places, and the networks would be in a very difficult spot. They want to get back to work, and they certainly want to get their football seasons together because of the enormity of the financial circumstances for what they pay for the NFL, for what they pay for the Big Ten and the SEC. I mean, we're talking. That's where a lot of us. Baseball's great, don't get me wrong, but look how many people in sports media are off during June, July, and August. That's when everybody takes time off. But maybe by the last 2 weeks of August and September, we're all in place and it's time to get ready to go.
Absolutely, right.
That's where the financial bread is buttered in sports television.
Tim, it is good to hear your voice, a little bit of normal sports talk back here, and this time we'll be in touch throughout. Thank you very much, and I'll let you get back to your honeydews with Mrs. Brando.
Actually, you guys were providing a service once I got home.
Now, don't make it a habit like me of going to Home Depot. Just kind of, find an excuse.
Right, exactly. Tim, thanks so much.
Good to be with both of you, and anytime, just reach out. I'll always be here.
Thank you very much.
Thanks,
Tim Brando from Fox Sports, everybody. Appreciate that. Quick reminder, don't forget the Sheeman & Shepherd Cash Grab starts on Monday. Going to give away a total of $100,000 throughout the month of April. It's our own stimulus package every day on Sheeman & Shepherd, giving you three chances to win with a new keyword given out at 2, 4, and 6 every day. That starts Monday. What you got next? Sheeman & Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Time for those parting shots. It's What You Got with Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN. Now, it's Sheeman and Shepherd.
What You Got brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, and scenic views. Today, on this day in history. Happy birthday, Denny McClain, 1944. Happy birthday, Mike Vanderjack, in 1970. He was the liquored-up kicker that Peyton Manning didn't like. On his own team.
Jerk.
And then Peyton Manning's birthday is today from 1976.
The Sheriff! Woo!
Peyton Manning, only 44. Seems older.
Really? I don't think so.
Well, I look at like Drew Brees and Tom Brady at 42-ish, and I remember, Peyton Manning, we all saw him kind of, wind it down physically. And
But Peyton also had a pretty serious neck injury. Let's not forget that.
Well, no, but he had three MVP-type years after that, so we forgot about the neck injury, and then he collapsed with old age. I mean, happy birthday, Chris Bosch. 1984.
CB1.
How about that? On this day in history, in 1989, the tanker Exxon Valdez ran aground in Prince William Sound in Alaska. I think you could still see oil around there from time to time. This big day last year, 1 year ago, two things happened. Gronk retired. And
beginning of the end.
Mike Trout signed the massive $426.5 million contract extension, which he has seen none of so far.
Not worth it.
No. Pete Shepard, what you got?
What I got is Antonio Brown's on the road to redemption, at least according to Hall of Famer Deion Sanders, who says, quote, he's proud of all the process AB is making off the field. AB has been in the news for all the wrong reasons, as you all know. But Deion Sanders is publicly supporting the wide receiver. In fact, Sanders shared snaps from a FaceTime with AB on Tuesday, made it clear he's in Brown's corner. Quote, had to check on my prodigal son, AB, today. Try not to vomit. When I tell you I'm proud of him, I do mean I'm proud of him. He's working on himself, his family, and his game one day at a time, just like you and I. Hashtag truth.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm not buying it.
Why is it Ray Lewis and Deion always seem to be like the spokesperson for the league when the bleep hits the fan for the player?
I think that's pretty obvious.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Down with that. Chris, what do you got?
I got the Houston Astros. This is a story from The Athletic. Apparently, three separate season ticket holders are suing the Astros. So the Astros responded today. All three responses were the exact same. Quote, the sign-stealing controversy has been a source of great disappointment to Astros fans as well as to the organization. On several occasions, members of the Astros organization, including individual players and its owner, Jim Crane, have expressed their sincere apologies and remorse for the events described in the report by the commissioner of Major League Baseball. That's their response to a lawsuit.
But what is the suit for specifically? Because of the cheating?
Yeah, because of the cheating, right.
Okay.
That they want to be
given a real
they
product.
Weren't giving a real product, exactly.
Okay.
Again, the key word there, sincere. If anybody can find me one sincere apology from anybody wearing a Houston Astros shirt or hat, please tweet it at me at Chris993ESPN. I haven't seen it yet.
Right. I haven't either.
Okay. So it looks like these three fans are going to get money, as they should. Jim Crane. I don't like that guy.
Not a lot of people do.
In fact, when baseball comes back, 29 teams should come back.
There you go.
Well, go Google Jim Crane and look at his business background, too. Not the, I don't know.
Not surprising.
He's got a shady past.
Not surprising.
All right, we made it through yet another day throughout navigating coronavirus. We are here. I'm here. Pete's there. More social distancing tomorrow. Chris, how much time we got?
Yeah, whenever.
That's it for Chris. For Pete Shepard, I'm Craig Sheeman. Thanks for listening. Good night, Southwest Florida. Stay safe, and God bless America and the world.
Bye. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.